This portion of the show is brought to you by Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear.com.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, 9-0 against Colorado, taking Trump off the ballot. I'm sure you've heard about that by now. We'll talk about that a bit. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Angela's here with me this hour, expecting Representative Joseph Chaplick in the second hour to give us a legislative update, talk about Arizona's efforts to try to enforce the border that the feds have failed to enforce. So he's got a bill down there, but I don't know. This thing might be getting struck down before he even starts, because Texas, you had that federal judge that said Texas can't enforce their border. So we'll get the lowdown from Representative Joseph Chaplick, plus get a general legislative update from him as well. I guess a lot of the legislators are gone. There's like 16 or 17 of them that are gone this week. They went over to Israel. So people kind of were upset that they left during the session. But
why? Why did they go? Not why were they upset?
Oh, I don't know. Just to go visit, I guess. See what's going on over there. Boost trade relations and things like that. You know, they always do these. You're rolling your eyes. If only you guys could see this. They go there to do, you know, these junkets to, you know, I don't know, take a little trip. And
yeah. Now's a good time, you
know,
I guess.
I don't know. So, but Representative Chaplick, I guess, is not over there, so he's going to tell us what's going on. I think he's the head of the Freedom Caucus or one of the Freedom Caucus members. He's been on in the past. But we got a lot to hit on here. We'll talk about Haley a little bit. We'll talk about Super Tuesday tomorrow. You know, Haley has got her first big win. D.C. What a joke.
Yeah,
really?
I know.
D.C., Queen of the Swamp is what Trump was calling her.
Yeah.
Sounds like Queen of the Trailer Park. And then let's talk about the mainstream going, or the debt problem going mainstream. Maybe that's a better way to phrase this. I saw this article after the show on Friday that's we're piling up, and this was mainstream news now, you know, dying legacy corporate media is all of a sudden on board with, we might have a debt problem here.
Oh.
Trillion dollars every 100 days. I don't think this is going to end well. I think we're in it not being ending well at this point. We just don't realize it, because it's like that, the boiling frog thing. It just keeps getting turned up.
Yeah, people have buried their head in the sand for too long.
Yeah. So we'll hit on that, plus some Arizona news will get you caught up on as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get an email, comment, and love to hear from you. Leave it will be by, I think, right after Representative Chaplick. If you're hungry, after you listen to the show, head on over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Get some great hot links today. That's their special. Tomorrow, don't forget about Taco Tuesday at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many years in a row. All the TVs up there for all your sports action, plus great daily specials, including, like I said, tomorrow, Taco Tuesday, Wing Wednesday. Every Wednesday, get half-price wings, and then sliders on Thursday. Always got something on their $4 menu. Always got great drink specials. Stop on by Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, out of downtown, though, so plenty of parking right there in the Bashes shopping center. We're getting dive bombed. You hear that plane?
Yeah.
This weirdest noise has happened outside sometimes. Had a great weekend. Real quick, it was absolutely beautiful where I was. And Angela will tell you about her weekend in a second. But Owen and I were preparing fields for planting. You know, we try to add a little bit each time. Our kind of oversized garden has turned into a really oversized garden, which this year multiplied again into a really, really oversized garden. And, you know, we got some gates built. We churned up some land, got some soil ready and prepped for hopefully the first planting. Well, we've already got stuff in the ground. We've got some radishes that came up, and, you know, the lettuces, things like that, potatoes are going. And we kind of prepped the land for at least a late April, early May corn planting. And hopefully we get plenty of corn. Owen wants to become a farmer right now, but he's 12, so who knows? He also wants to be a pilot. He built a plane out of driftwood this weekend, used up half my box of screws, learned how to use the saw really good, the drill really good, and built a plane with a 14-foot wingspan. So it's beautiful where we were. We took a dip even into West Clear Creek, which was freezing. And then you were up here where it was absolutely windy and miserable.
Yeah, not so beautiful. So, I'm a little bit scarred still from sitting out in the wind for like 8 hours on Saturday.
Yeah. Which you had a great sale. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you to anyone who came by, everyone that introduced themselves or said they had heard it on the show or
yeah.
recognized my voice or whatever, or saw Olivia and talked to her. And plus a couple of friends of ours, Bob Thorpe and Wendy Rogers. And
oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob. And Wendy showed
up. Yeah, a few people, yeah. you know, that Jeff kind of got in touch with. And they ended up stopping by. It was really nice to see some familiar faces. So, yeah, the sale went good. And she can talk about that next hour when she comes. And,
Navajo tacos.
So. Yeah, we went, sold the Navajo tacos, and we had some Navajo women frying up the bread there on the spot. And
they were old school, man. They knew.
Oh, yeah.
They knew their stuff,
they know
man.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
They,
authentic stuff.
You could hear them slapping the dough around and, you know,
a pot full of beans upstairs. He's like, oh, here you go.
I know. I got, somehow I got stuck with the leftover beans, and it's just, it's.
They're good beans.
I mean, yeah, they taste good, but it's too much for us to eat. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. Cold up here, but
Olivia and her
friends got, thank you to everybody for supporting it. That's, it's good for them, like entrepreneurial, you know, what works, what doesn't work. So,
and there were two other Navajo taco sales going on in the same area.
Yeah.
The same time. So that was. Kind of a bummer for us and probably for them too.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, you can only sell so many.
Okay. So, Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS decision, 9-0 against Colorado, taking Trump off the ballot. So just quick history here. First Maine went. Maine's, was it Maine first or Colorado? It doesn't really matter. I can't remember. But Maine and Colorado state politicians and, you know, bureaucrats and all these people that never had a real job, they decided that Trump shouldn't be on the ballot because of January 6th, despite no charges, despite no convictions, just because
they think so.
Yeah, just because they think they read, you know, what they were basing it on. The lawsuit said that under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they argued that Trump's actions before and during January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol fell under these sections language, barring those who had engaged in insurrection or rebellion. You've heard all this before. You know, their interpretation, blah, blah, blah. They were wrong. They're wrong because look at the Supreme Court makeup. I mean, it's, you know, you've got liberals on there. You've got leftists on there.
Yeah, of course.
You've got the
it's
right
Colorado.
On there. Yeah, well, I'm talking about the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah,
U.S. Supreme Court ruled today. And you've got all these, you know, justices who have divergent viewpoints, even within the so-called conservative justices, who a couple of them aren't too conservative. They're 9-0.
That doesn't happen that much.
It does not. I mean, they had some, they wrote it as a whole as far as, nobody signed their name as far as this person. Usually there's the majority-minority opinion or
right. Well, yeah, usually there's more than one because it's 0-9 decision.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So they wrote it and said, that they can't do that. What was the exact, SCOTUS said that because the Constitution, here's a quote, because the Constitution makes Congress rather than the states responsible for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates, we reverse, you know, the decision.
Right.
That's what the opinion read. Now, the Democrats, in their effort to, I guess, stop what they consider, quote unquote, election interference, because that's what they're saying. The president, you know, insurrection, election interference, all that, right? January 6th, you know all this stuff. You know, they did election interference. So some Democrats now, in an attempt to stop election interference, are attempting to interfere in the election, right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat out of Maryland, said that, quote unquote, Congress will have to try and act. So after decision, because SCOTUS is saying, hey, Congress can only do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
The states can't do it. Congress is going to.
So, hey, we've got election interference, right? This is how I interpret it. That's how I interpret their brains are working. Not how I interpret it, but how I think that these Democrat leftists are always churning and, you know, their brains are smoking out steam from overheating. They think there was election interference. So they have to interfere themselves now, right? They're the ones causing the election interference at this point. Maine did it. Colorado did it. Illinois was talking about doing it. So now nobody's going to do it because 9-0. They're not going to get away with it, right? But this Democrat, and he's not the only one, Raskin out of Maryland, he is the ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, which is scary stuff that these people can be this, quite frankly, stupid. he said that Congress, you know, he was asked by Axios, which is, that's another story there, was asked by Axios, you know, if he's going to act, right? And he quote unquote says, yeah, I'm working on it today. So he's working on election interference today, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to get it because the Republicans control the House and Speaker Johnson yeah. is not going to see this. I mean, they can't even get a budget going. So you think they're going to take care of this. But let me ask you this. Here's my question for you, Angela, and for all you out there. Just in general, when it comes to our so-called public officials and our so-called, you know, representatives, they're supposed to represent us. What are the repercussions for them doing really, 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 really stupid things? Remember the whole Russiagate, the golden showers, the, you know, collusion, Trump collusion. Remember all that stuff, Representative mm-hmm. Schiff? What an unbelievable. What are the repercussions besides the, I guess, illusion of, oh, the voters are the repercussion. The voters will vote them out. The voters never vote these people out because right. they like what they're doing. And that's why it's like an echo chamber. It's self-reinforcing here. That's why these representatives continually do this crazy stuff, because their crazy supporters keep putting them back in, like a Schiff or anybody like that. What are the repercussions for these officials in Colorado, in Maine, you name it, that did something really, really stupid, and just not in this, but in so many different regards. We could go back to COVID and whatnot. What are their repercussions?
Well, there should be some, but there probably won't.
There won't be.
Because when there's so many instances of it, and then it just takes so long to make any headway with, you know, getting repercussions
yeah.
for these people, that then they'll tend to just go for, you know, the worst offender or whatever, and it'll just be one or something like that out of everyone, or maybe even none. I mean, some of that stuff never... has never been.
They never. Most of them, they never get any slap
but
on
like
the wrist.
Last week, you were talking about the PPP fraud and mm-hmm. the, you know, but they're going after a couple of the real bad ones. But what about the rest of them? You know, it's just that sort of thing.
They're going after the people like that took the money and didn't even maybe have employees or set up some dummy company. Or,
right.
You know, we're driving around Lamborghinis in this, right?
Yeah.
This was during the Paycheck Protection Program during COVID. Just one example of many things that are corrupt in our society. But those are the people that took advantage of it. Okay, you should go after them. But what about the people that created a stupid system to begin with, that
right,
created
exactly.
bad policy to begin yeah. with, that created
it's
the
just,
COVID hysterics?
There's too many bureaucrats and paper yeah. pushers out there that it just would take so long to do anything about every single case.
The people in Colorado that came up with this, the people like in Maine that came up with this and, you know, that said, oh, Trump shouldn't be on the ballot. Basically, you half the country, you know, go pound sand. You can't have your candidate because we say so. I guarantee you, because we're talking about, in some cases, what attorney generals or elections people, you know, this and that, they have legal counsel. Let me just go back to my time on the city council.
My only foray
into public, you know, representation, you know, getting elected and supposed to be up there representing people. And I was absolutely shocked to learn about the amount of lawyers that were involved just in the city of Flagstaff, the internal lawyers and the external lawyers that the city hired. And the probably, I would estimate, one third of the time that we spent on public matters were spent privately with lawyers behind closed doors, right? And there would be things that would come up, and it would usually be another council member that would bring something forward that I want to do this. And the lawyers would come in and clearly write and say, you can't do that because it violates the Arizona Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, blah, 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 blah. Opinion after, you know, internal opinion after opinion.
Yeah.
That politician would then go out in the public knowing the legal trapdoors that are out there, being advised because, you know, this person's smarter than the lawyers. And I don't always agree with lawyers, right? But when the first one tells you this and the second one
they're
says
all
the same
in agreement.
Thing, the third
yeah.
one says, okay, wait a second, maybe I'm not as yeah. smart as I think I am. They would go out and make a public mockery of everything and know that it was illegal, know that it was unconstitutional, and rile up the crowd, rile up the voters, rile up the constituents, and they know it wasn't going to pass. They would tell you that privately. And it would fail. It would get knocked down by the courts, whatever the case may be.
Didn't matter. No repercussion. Yeah.
No repercussion.
That's exactly the point I was going to make, is that the people in Colorado and Maine that did push this forward they could have been advised too that
I guarantee you they were advised.
Do this. This is a congressional decision. If it were true, and they did it anyway because they don't care.
They don't care.
They know that probably nothing's going to happen. And they then in the end, they'll just say, well, we tried and it'll look good to their constituency.
Yep. I guarantee you they were advised that multiple times,
because we've seen it on the small scale, just in this city, and it happens in every city in the country.
All over the place.
Yeah.
All they care about, these politicians and these forever bureaucrats, is how do they continue to advance themselves or their party, their group, their supporters, their very small, loud, squeaky wheel supporters. All they care about is advancing that, because those people also help boost them up through the whole system.
And how many people have been caught on camera or tape and saying, well, I don't care about the Constitution anymore. That's just a piece of paper to me. We don't have to follow it. And not just not people in Congress or in state houses, but just people on the street. Yep. They if someone were to say, well, that's not constitutional, that's not how this thing works, how many people would just say, well, I don't care about the Constitution? Don't care.
Well, people say on the First Amendment, freedom of speech, that should be curtailed. I think I saw a recent poll that it was like 60% that, oh, yeah, it's just too much. We have too much freedom. And I'm not making this stuff up. There are people that actually believe that, or there's a growing and larger segment of the population that believe, well, this thing was written way back, and it was written by a bunch of slave-owning white guys, and, you know, this shouldn't be anymore. And they want us to become like every other country throughout history, which is a nation of not laws, but a nation of men. So nation of people like those in Colorado and Maine who can just say, no, we think this, you shouldn't be on the ballot because we say so. Mm-hmm. And without the Supreme Court, who has, we have pluses and minuses with the Supreme Court, obviously, without them stepping in and saying, no, there's some kind of, here, there's this thing called the Constitution. Let's read this thing and make sure we get it right. So they got it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll give them that. But no repercussions, and we won't see any.
No.
And like you said, they'll go right to their donors and their supporters and say, that Supreme Court was wrong. It should be, we should have 15 members or 30 members or 100 members on there. Mm-hmm. We should get Puerto Rico in here and other, make other states so we can get a liberal Supreme Court because, I tried. And, hey, can I get your donation? And I'm running for re-election for the next, or I'm running for higher office.
I'm going to look into this, or have my staff look into this.
Yeah, and that's why I'm running for governor.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just go get a real job already. All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you're conservative and maybe you want your investments to reflect those same principles, why don't you give Glenn Leese a call at WT Wealth Management. He wants to talk to you about how to match your portfolio with your values. If you're tired of the wokeness, hey, get a second opinion on what's going on with these companies, these corporate boards. Glenn Leese and WT Wealth Management, they've curated and launched a proprietary woke mitigation portfolio that features companies primarily focused on increasing shareholder value through profitable business operations. Imagine that, offering excellent goods and services, period. Glenn's a fiduciary, shares a lot of your same values. Give him a call. Have him review your portfolio. It's complimentary. Have a conversation one-on-one with Glenn Leese of WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Leese at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Okay, one more here on the national side. Actually, I got a couple more, but let's hit this one. Try to squeeze this one in. Nikki Haley got her first win. She got Washington, D.C.
Surprise, surprise.
Right now, she's got 43. She's cranking. And the main, a lot of the mainstream, let's not call them that, the dying corporate media. It's like, oh, she's, this breathes new light into her campaign. I was reading headlines like that. It's like, really? She's got 43 delegates now. She only needs 1,172 more. I mean, come on.
With really no prospects.
There is no road. There's no avenue. Trump's not backing down. Even if, and all these court cases are stalling and kind of falling apart. And we thought there'd be some convictions maybe because they threw so much at him, but who the heck knows now? Mm-hmm. There's no path for her. Even if they got their act together and they actually did some kangaroo courts and actually put Trump in jail, he's still running.
Right.
And I think he'd probably get more votes at this point than he would otherwise. There's no road for her, but she keep, now there's, you know, she's going to get some more donations now because she won Washington, D.C. Trump summed it up really good. He called her queen of the swamp. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, what is D.C.? What is
my joke earlier this morning was like, you know, out of the four Republicans there, okay, she got three.
She got the three Republicans in D.C.
I mean, you know, it's just, that's just right. Funny.
There is Super Tuesday.
Yeah, I was just going to say Super Tuesday tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So the Colorado decision came just in time. And Maine, too, because they're both tomorrow.
Yeah, what do we got? You got the list? Mm-hmm. Yeah, read that off. Here's all the states at play tomorrow.
Alabama, American Samoa. Well, that's the Democrat. American Samoa Democrat one. Sometimes on different days.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah. Arkansas, Alaska, California, Colorado, Maine, MA, what's that? Massachusetts. Minnesota, yeah. North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia.
Iowa. Why does it say Iowa? There's no Iowa.
Iowa already did theirs.
Why is that in my list? Yeah, that was like the first one, wasn't it?
Well, the caucus was January 15th.
Oh, they have some kind of...
I made this list a while ago, so something could have changed, so yeah, I could be wrong. Because my date on this is August 28th.
So she won D.C. She's not going to win one of those states tomorrow.
No.
I can't see her winning any of those states tomorrow. So hopefully she's gone after tomorrow, but maybe she'll just stick around. Yeah, American
Samoa.
Yeah,
well, the next 3 weeks, or the tomorrow plus the next two after that, have a lot of states. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then Arizona is coming up March 19th.
Yeah.
And I know that you should have gotten, I think Mark Howitt said he got his.
His wife did.
Okay.
Because she's Republican. But we are independent, so we
independent can't get them, right? It's just you have to be
registered. You'd have to re-register.
Okay. And you missed that deadline. That deadline's
I just didn't
come
care.
And gone for the. I didn't either because, and as you know, I'm an independent now. Angel's an independent as well. I knew months ago that by the time it got to Arizona and well before that it wasn't going to matter that it was going to be Trump. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying this for a long time. Just get it going on right now. Trump versus Biden.
Yeah.
Just get it going.
Well, and for me, the last time I switched to Republican just for the primary, that didn't work out anyway. And I never did vote that time. That was the year Owen was born. He was born like the day before the primary day. So I never voted.
That's right.
And then it took me a while to change back. It's just a hassle. I mean, I know it's easy, but it's just one of those things I didn't do. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not going to bother doing it again.
I'm fine with being independent. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. All right. Hey, it's been cold up here, but I noticed that it's warming up down in the Verde Valley and other areas throughout northern and central Arizona. Call Gettles High Desert Mechanical right now before we get our first, like, 90s and then into, the low hundreds. And then you're like, I should have called them. My cooler, my air conditioner is not working well. Get that thing inspected and tuned up, taken care of before we get into that, our next stage of crazy weather here in northern and central Arizona. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, family owned company servicing, Prescott area, Verde Valley, Sedona, Flagstaff, all over. Like I said, give them a call. This is who Angela and I use. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, service your HVAC system and also new units, custom design, retrofitting. Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200, 928-567-2200, or go to Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, GettlesHDM.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
If you're buying or refinancing to consolidate high-rate credit cards, don't be misled by teaser interest rates online. I want you to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. You can save time and money. Now, Nova Home Loans is Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, and Nova makes local decisions like a bank. And because they're also a broker, Kim Dawson has access to all the best programs. Call her up, see what's available, especially if you're a first-time home buyer or if you're in a situation where you have a lot of credit card debt, but you have your home, you already have a loan, maybe you can refinance that and get a lower overall payment. Call Kim Dawson and get a pre-approval letter. It's the next best thing to having cash on hand. Mention to Jeff Orvich, you'll get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Here's Kim's number, 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, MLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, MLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome back. Representative Joseph Chaplick will join us next hour. Talk about how Arizona can and should defend itself from the border invasion that's going on. Arizona is the number one crossing destination now. Good. That's good, right? That's good. And we had, what, 7 million under Biden, something like that, which means who knows what.
Well, that's 14. The number they're telling us.
Yeah, that's probably 14 million.
Yeah.
It's insane. Let's switch to a couple things in here in Arizona. If you got any comments, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I enjoyed this. I like looking at these headlines, especially from AZ Central and, you know, these mouthpieces who do these opinion write-ups, like Lori Roberts with the Arizona Republic, who says, Carrie Lake would, here's the headline for her op-ed. Carrie Lake would deny birthright citizenship, in Arizona, right? She goes on to write this opinion that she wants to wage a war on children born to undocumented immigrants. I guess Carrie Lake was recently talking to somebody, and I think she's told us this before, that if she was senator, she would, get rid of birthright citizenship. So, you know, you come to, the U.S. as an illegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a baby. So you literally could come across the border.
Like the next day.
Have a baby 8 seconds later. And that baby, you're not automatically a citizen, but you might as well be, because they're never going to kick you out and they're going to give you all kinds of services and this and that. The kid is automatically a U.S. citizen. Anchor mm-hmm. babies, I think they call them, right?
Right.
We're like one of the only nations in the world that actually do this, and we get flack anytime we say we want to do away with this thing. And other nations just I don't think you can do that in Mexico. Like if you and I were just to go over there right now or in the past and just decide, hey, we're going to have our baby here, they're now a Mexican and a U.S. citizen. Right?
Yeah, that so would she be gets, weird.
Yeah, so anyway, I find this whole op-ed that, hey, yeah, she wants to get in there and she wants to end, you know, this mm-hmm. this deal with anchor babies and what we call them. She doesn't call it that, but that's what it is. We need to end that. This is an incentive.
It's an incentive for people to come here and have their baby here.
Yeah, exactly. That's
what it is.
If, you know, and I guess if I was living right there near the border or was like, hey, my life's pretty miserable here, these people are so dumb up there. They got this thing where if you just go have your baby, maybe I'm not going to get citizenship, but, you know, hey, this kid's going to be a U.S. citizen just because they were born there. In fact, I just go across the border. Let's say you go to like Yuma or something, right? And Yuma must have a regional hospital right there, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in the emergency room right when I'm about to, you know, it's about to burst.
Deliver.
Thank you. They're going to just take me in. They're not going to not take me in. That the word is spread that the hospital won't deny service, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're not going to deny. And then I've got all the paperwork right there, too. It's like, what's the kid's name? Here's the birth certificate. Out the door you go.
Yeah.
And done.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then let me sign this kid up for services.
Yeah.
You know, get them in the system. And WIC. I get WIC right away.
Don't get it at all.
I mean, how could you not?
And they won't pay for the hospital bill at all.
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to put you on a payment plan. Pay a dollar a month, which you won't even do that, right? But what a great thing that's spread throughout the world through, like, you know, that old game telephone. The word's out. The bulletin boards are out. That, hey, just come across the border. You not only get citizenship, they take care of your baby.
Yeah. Olivia and I were watching this, been watching this show, and I won't say which one it is, but the people end up in the Bahamas, and one of them gets shot, but they're kind of like, you know, running from something, and so they don't want to just go to the hospital and get fixed up, and so they find, you know, the doctor in the alley or whatever, you know, the girl's bleeding out and on the table practically, and the doc's like, well, that's going to be $4,000, like I had to pay it
in advance.
Yeah, in advance. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, we're just suckers in this country. We are the world's suckers.
Even
at this
with
point.
Someone dying on the table, he wanted his payment first.
I need that payment first. And like, it's not personal. It's just business.
Yeah.
Do I think they should deny service? No, but here's the thing. You come out. Okay. Yes. You had your baby. Now we've got a van waiting outside. Yeah, we're going to bring you back across the border. Yeah, I mean, what is it?
You're welcome.
You don't get citizenship just because you came over and you were just born here.
Right. I know.
I'm sorry. That's just not how it should work.
Imagine, like, if one of the times I was pregnant, we had just said, hey, let's go to Mexico for the weekend, or let's fly to some, you know, Central America or something for a week. And, you know, maybe it was baby comes 2 months early for some reason. Yeah. Would I expect them to have citizenship wherever we were at the time? No.
This is insanity.
I know.
Yeah, but we should have went to, like, you know, Sweden or one of the real socialist countries.
Oh, I would have been in the hospital in, like, a luxury suite
just like,
for a month.
I get that. Yeah, I get
like a hot tub in
4 months of day spa here, practically.
I know someone who she's from England, but they were living in New Zealand at the time, that I think both their kids were born there. But, yeah, she said it was like... It was like posh, like a resort there in the hospital when you had a baby.
Yep. Crazy stuff. Yeah. Okay, sticking to Arizona here. You know that University of Arizona has a bunch of problems when it comes to, like, their budget. Well, they're not the only ones. I mean, it's what were we reading? That what large percentage of U.S. cities are technically bankrupt, like 50 of the largest cities. What was the number? Like 60%.
I'm surprised it's not more than that.
Two-thirds or something like that. Universities are broke. They keep building buildings and, you know, doing their woke nonsense, paying these professors and these deans all this money and six figures into, you know, seven figures.
Well, they're just
crazy.
Like the federal government. They're just learning from the best.
University of, another one from Arizona Central, University of Arizona President Robert Robbins, the guy with two first names, to take a pay cut. And this is so sad. He's going to lose his bonuses amid, quote unquote, financial challenges. Financial challenges, they're $177 million short on their budget. That's not a financial challenge. That's a financial cliff. And usually, you know, the CEO is gone.
Right.
At that point, or the president.
They're out of a job.
They're out of a job.
Well, this note says his base salary is $816,000. So 10% of that is just over $81,600. I'm sorry. And I mean, it's like, I guess you got to at least give it to him for, you know, he requested this pay cut, but that $81,000 is not going to put a dent in your $177 million shortfall.
There's an abortion region to just get rid of the guy. I mean, when you have a CEO that's not performing, it's like, we've really missed here and we're in a big shortfall. And it's like, well, what were you doing? And you took a 10% cut. So you're going to make $740,000? I mean, I know it's going to be tough. I mean, could you imagine having
saying that's barely, that's not even scrape the surface and help the situation.
No, that does
nothing.
It's not
going to do anything.
It's just to try to take some heat off the $177 million budget shortfall, hit the heat that's on him, right? But you got to feel bad for these people. It's like these, I would call them public officials. Once again, these are state employees. This is a state university. Making $816,000 a year. And believe me, it's more than that because we've gone over this before. It's the cell phone. It's all the perks that you get.
Yeah.
I'm sure it adds up well over $1 million. Is he also giving up all of his perks and all that, right? Mm-hmm. Is he giving that up? So, it's going to be tough for him for a while until everybody forgets about it and they, you know, get buried it, throw it under the rug, and it's gone. So, 10% pay cuts. Let's see, one more here. Before I do that, I got to pay special attention to our sponsors because they do such a great job for us. And that's the Rodeo Steakhouse. And I appreciate their sponsorship. And I appreciate a good steak, good ribs, good meal at the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams. I know that John had a special event there for one of the Senate candidates.
Yeah, I wonder how that went.
Yeah, on Friday. Yeah. Sheriff Mark Lamb. And that's an interesting race. You know, we'll see what happens. I think Lake's pretty far ahead. I really do like Lamb, though. I think he should definitely stay. I don't want to be picking what's going to happen here. But no matter what, he's done a great service here. He fought COVID and things like that. So it's always kind of a shame when you got two really good
people
up there.
It's and hard to choose. Yeah.
But Kerry Lake's kind of turned into a superstar, though. So that gets kind of tough. Anyway, the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams, stop on by there, get a great steak, get a great meal, and always enjoy wonderful Williams, Arizona. And the Rodeo Steakhouse is right there on 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard, right there by the Ramada Inn. The Rodeo Steakhouse, stop on by and get some great food. Have a great time. All right. Obesity, before I get you out of here, because I know you got to run here. Mm-hmm. Now a great, this is an article on MSN. Now a greater risk to global health than, this one shocked me, than hunger. Than hunger. You remember, it wasn't that long ago. It was like we had all these food drives for all the hungry people in the world.
Children.
Yeah, there's still, mm-hmm. that's still happening, right?
Yeah.
But overweight people, severely overweight people, is a greater risk to health now than actually people starving. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing for almost my whole life that the capacity of Earth to support any more people was, you know, surpassed at like 4 billion, then 5 billion, then 6 billion, then 7 mm-hmm. billion. What are we up to now? We have 7-8 billion people.
Yeah, I thought I would guess 7 or 8.
Who knows what number it actually is? How do these people even know, right? But there's a study that says it's greater health threat than hunger. New Lancet study has found more than 1 in 8 people in the world are clinically obese. As the number passed 1 billion for the first time, it's now the leading form of what they call malnutrition. Right, mm-hmm. The leading form of malnutrition is now obesity. The number of people considered underweight, so people that are hungry, then, you know, food problems, don't get enough food, has fallen below 550 million. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So the world is awash, quite frankly, in a lot of crappy food and, inactivity. It's not just a U.S. thing.
Yeah. And it's not just everywhere. A food thing. It's a lot of contributing factors.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah, I've tried to up it. I've been trying to get the, you know, more and more. And I feel like I'm pretty active. Yeah. And it's still, even still, you just, we have so much selection. You have so much, and you all know. I mean, it's hard. And we have such a sedentary lifestyle sitting in front of the computer.
Like, oh, you know, I eat pretty well. I do, you know.
I think I do, but.
We're like, yeah, we eat pretty good and we're pretty active and decent shape and, you know, but. Everyone could do better. I mean, we could do better. You know, it's like, everyone could do better. That's the bottom line.
I wonder how much of an impact COVID had on this and the COVID hysterics from the governments where they told everybody to sit at home. And, you know, remember Governor Ducey, sit at home, watch Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, how much that brought people and got people into even worse health. Because it was bad before that. Don't get me wrong.
For sure.
But how much did that accelerate the health problems? That we're now, you know, to protect everyone from COVID, which now they're like, yeah, you get COVID, just go to work, right? Mm-hmm. Was that Friday I was talking about that?
Yeah, I had read that same thing too. It's just cracking me up.
If you missed the show on Friday,
it used to be 14 days you had to
14
isolate.
Days you're 14 supposed to days. Isolate.
Then it was 10 days because 14 was way too long. And then 10 was like, it's still a little long. Yeah, and, you know, people would get it. They'd feel better in 3 days and then they'd have the next 7 to do whatever they want, right? Yeah. And, I can't go back to work. I'm in my 10 days. And I can speak for myself that when I had it, I did my 10 days. Like, I didn't go out.
You're such a rule follower. I was out.
I was like, I'm doing.
I was out in 5 or 3 or 0
before it
was.
Well, you got it later than me.
I was out in 1 day before it was even cool to be out in 1 day.
Anyway, they discovered that 10 was too long, and then it was 5, and then even 5 now is like, they say, oh no, as long as you don't have a fever, you can go back out. Basically, it's just like a cold or any other.
It's grandma's rules. It's grandma. Yeah, when you feel better, when you don't have any symptoms. Back. Yeah. So just remember that so that these bozos don't do this again. So stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wonder how much that factored into obesity.
Well, it did. I mean, obviously it was a problem well before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you get encouraged even more to, don't go outside. Don't go ride your bike. Don't go walk. Don't go surfing.
When you have the government convincing you that it's okay and you're actually saving the world by eating Doritos, sitting on the couch watching Netflix.
Yeah, just order your food.
And then they're going to send you a check.
Yeah.
I mean, who ain't going to take that?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, man. All right. If you get your smartphone broken, cracked screens, charging port issues, or the battery, that's a big one, go by Just Wireless. Just Wireless in West Flagstaff on Milton Avenue, right as I-17 comes into town. They'll fix that for you. Plus, Just Wireless has a great line of refurbished phones so you can save some money. And I think you should save some money right now because, and I'll try to get to it in the second hour, $1 trillion every 100 days is being added to the national debt. What? $1 trillion is being added to the national debt every 100 days. So saving some money and not putting it into a $1,000 new smartphone is probably a good idea. Stop on by Just Wireless to take care of you and visit JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Done with the cold weather though, and came back up the flag. I was like, ooh, because I got the preview of the spring in Verde Valley. And I would encourage everybody to plant that backyard garden, even if it's a little 12-inch pot,
or even
that
a container pot,
some herbs, you know, herbs,
containers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good thing because I don't know what's coming. I think it's going to be crazy. I think Trump has a good shot of winning. I don't know what you think about that, but if Trump wins, it's like BLM 2020 2.0, like worse on steroids, maybe. Yeah. If he loses, it's just we're going off the cliff in a more rapid fashion.
That's what
fashion.
I'm concerned of, even, that they need.
Yeah, it's scary.
Almost like the situation in 16, which led up to that, and him winning that one was the economy worries and things like that, and him saying, well, we're going to go and drain the swamp. And people were like, yeah, we really need to turn this thing around now. And, you know, here we are 8 years later.
It's really similar.
And it's like
we haven't
the
moved
same
much.
Thing. Yeah. And I'm thinking, man, we really need someone like Trump that could, I mean,
could you imagine?
He could do it.
No,
I
know you were disappointed the first time that he didn't follow through on a lot, but I think he's got such a, I've been saying this for a long time, path of vengeance. That I think it's something that it's our best shot. Mm-hmm. It's our best shot at this point. And I'm not overly optimistic because I think we're so far down the road when you're $1 trillion every 100 days. You're not recovering from that anytime soon. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All right. You're out of here. We'll see
Bye.
You next time. Stick around. We got Representative Joseph Chaplick plus Olivia with comments back in just a few minutes. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Eric and Lisa Boatner at Allstate Insurance Agency in Flagstaff.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Olivia's here with me.
Back for my first time since taking over the show.
And I was messing. I was like, my headphones messed up. Board was adjusted. It was set
and
to Olivia's settings. Apparently, you're.
Wait, what?
It's apparently.
Oh, I thought you said that's why you left.
Apparently,
it was not messed up.
Apparently, your hearing levels are better than mine because I have to boost mine up a bit.
Oh my gosh! I put it on and I thought I lost hearing forever. I was like,
you probably
whoa,
will.
Whoa, what is that volume level?
Yeah, I know it's. 8 years with a headset on, I guess, is what's going on. Bob Thorpe just sent me a picture. I think he'll be on the program this week, and he's going to hopefully help fill in with Mark Hout when I'm away starting next week. But I can do some shows from our trip as well. Should be pretty interesting. Yeah, so, but Bob Thorpe just sent me a picture of Lower Lake Mary looking pretty full. Second year in a row where the water's you know, really reaching the banks there. That's pretty cool. And it's a little early on all this snow melt. Hopefully in March, we'll get at least one more big storm because that, you don't want it. We need it for the snowpack though. I was
not desperately. No.
Well, I was watching, some of the weather reports from the, Sierra Nevada there, up by, was that Lake Tahoe, the Donner Pass. I mean, have you ever been to Donner Pass? It's, I think you did when you were pretty young, if I remember correctly. That's where the Donner Party got stuck. And they, I don't know, I'd heard that they got 7-8. They were calling for like 12 feet. I know they got at least 7-8 feet in one storm. So
yeah, imagine incredible. Shoveling that.
yeah, right. And then that lake in Death Valley is really full. It's a couple miles wide now. Very rare for that. It's not very deep, but there's a bunch of standing water in Death Valley. And I think this happened last year as well. So that's good news. I mean, they tell us about the impending end of the world due to man-caused climate change, and then all of a sudden
you water. Have... No more water. It's gone. We're done.
You have a couple good years, and boom, here we are. Speaking of that, I've got some Enviro stuff I want to hit on here in a minute regarding the good old electric cars out there. A new report came out saying that, let me get the exact wording, EVs may cause more Enviro damage versus gasoline. I was reading this on the Daily Mail, and there's a study done by Emissions Analytics, a follow-up to a study they did in 2020 because people didn't believe them. And it actually got worse as far as the emissions and pollution from the materials, and especially the tires. It's kind of interesting. So we'll get to that. A rescheduling note for Representative Joseph Chaplick. We were supposed to have him on, but he got held up. Apparently, third read of some bill down at the legislature. I thought 17 of them went to Israel. I didn't even know they had enough people to do this, but maybe they're leaving tomorrow. So we're going to try to reschedule Representative Joseph Chaplick for this week sometime. And we're going to update from Senator Wendy Rogers, too, when I'm next Monday. Big update from her. So look forward to that. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with, and Olivia's got some comments. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. If you want to get sharp on your Second Amendment, you know, rights, but Second Amendment skills, your firearm skills, go out to Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Great indoor shooting range, plus all the training courses you need, whether you're new to firearms, somewhere in the middle, or expert level. Go check it out. Go take advantage of this. You have a great world-class training facility just outside the city limits in Flagstaff, outside of Flagstaff. Timberline Firearms and Training also has safes. They have ammunition. They have firearms. They have accessories. Go on out there, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, Timberline Firearms and Training, or visit them online as well at timberlinefirearms.us. That's timberlinefirearms.us. Call them up to book one of these training courses. They go pretty quick, especially the carry concealed. The once-a-month free Stop the Bleed course, which Olivia has taken. You probably need to take a refresher. We should do that once a year.
Yeah, it's. I think that's recommended.
Recommended. Take
and
that.
They like slightly change it so
yes.
that you can retain some things and then get some new things the next time.
Techniques change too, mm-hmm. you know, on all that stuff. It changes over time. Here's their number. You can book these training courses, 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900. Okay, so EVs may cause more environmental damage than their counterparts, the gasoline engines, diesel engines, things like that, you know, internal combustion engines. I was reading parts of this study that was published. Daily Mail did a whole write-up on this thing. The study came from Emissions Analytics. Electric vehicles may release more pollution than gas-powered vehicles, according to a shock new study, which was a follow-up to a study they did in 2020 where they said that these things were emitting a whole bunch of pollution.
But they let that one get buried real quick, didn't
they?
Well,
they got it out there, but people just didn't believe it. They were like, there's no way. There's no way that it can be so much more pollution.
I know better than careful research.
Yeah, exactly.
My politicians are telling me, and I trust my politicians.
Yeah, exactly. Biden or Kamala Harris says, hey, you got to switch to EVs because it's better for the earth. These people are bona fide fake scientists. You must believe them, everything they say. So here, let me read some of this. Independent researchers said that while exhaust fumes have historically been blamed for carbon emission pollution, the biggest polluter is now, what do you think it is? What component of the vehicle do you think is the biggest polluter? According to the study, tires. Tires and brakes.
And brakes.
And brakes. Now, here's why. Here's why. They found that brakes and tires release 1,850 times. Originally, the 2020 study was like 1,000 times. Now, they redid it and spent a couple more years fine-tuning this thing.
According to the study,
1,850 times more particulate matter, which is air pollution, they note, compared to modern tailpipes, which have filters that reduce emissions. And I've argued this for a long time, and so have people that are much, 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 much smarter than me that are actually in this field. The amount of pollution equipment and filters that have been added to vehicles is enormous since the 1970s, 1980s.
But that's also a thing that comes over time.
So
it's like if it had been given more of a chance to develop.
Well, yeah. I mean, what we have gasoline or internal combustion engines that we've been refining as a society for well over 100 years now, and they are running like optimal, right? And then we decide, or the politicians decide, and the environmental kind of leftist whack jobs decide they know better. They're going to reinvent the whole automobile industry by a stroke of a pen and say, by 2035, but whatever number they pick, whatever year they pick, we know better. Whereas they want to bypass 100 plus years of technological evolution with the electric vehicle just simply because they say so and they know what's best.
What I just don't understand at all is, like, do they not know where electricity comes from? Do they think that's just like a magical, like, I don't know, unicorns moving and getting it? Because the electricity comes from fossil fuels.
Mostly. I mean,
well, some of it doesn't, yeah, but 90% of it does.
Most of it does. But they have this dream that they're going to switch to windmills and solar. So they think
it's called a cloud. Aren't we polluting it? Isn't there going to be no sun because we're polluting the clouds and whatever?
Well, they just think it's all going to come from these renewables, like fossil fuel sources. And they don't even like nuclear, which, if you're going to do an electric based economy, which we are, I mean, for so many things, but not on our vehicles, you would have to do nuclear. You have to rev up because that's just, that's the only way you're going to be able to get that base load.
But no, they don't like that.
No, they don't like
that. It's all about the solar panels.
They don't like that. And
which
I'd like
can
to
be toxic anyways.
Yeah, I'd like to see the study on what the solar panels' environmental damage is causing. You know, all the producing all these panels versus digging coal or, you know,
there's some kind of toxic material in that.
Oh, there has to be. So anyway,
I don't know what it is, but there definitely is.
They're saying that it's the tires and the, where did that go? The brakes that are causing all of this extra pollution in EVs, because the EVs are 30% heavier on average than gas vehicles, which causes the brakes and tire treads to wear out faster than standard cars, and it releases tiny, often toxic particles into the atmosphere. And
in the creation of the tires or
no,
the use?
No, it's the use because of all the batteries, these lithium batteries. EV batteries weigh about 1,000 pounds, can result in tire emissions that are nearly 400 times more than tailpipe emissions. And we had some results of this here locally. Remember when Bruce Sidlinger's Tesla broke down? He had the deluxe model. I can't remember which one it was. But he said it was like 6,000 pounds or something, like 4,000 pounds of it, like two-thirds of it was batteries, he said. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't even, like, they had trouble just towing it onto the tow truck, remember?
Right, because the
had
wheels to drag locked, because yeah, there wasn't neutral.
The wheels locked, so they probably wore out the tires,
yeah,
more.
Yeah, it probably shredded and immediately went up into the atmosphere, like, directly, like, above our house.
It's probably
like,
in the ground.
Yeah, we probably polluted.
Well, what
in
they're
our yard
saying is, unlike the tailpipe emissions, according to this study, from Emissions Analytics, which I really don't know much about them, but I mean, it's kind of in their name, like Emissions Analytics.
Their specialty.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're, I don't know much about them, but it sounds right with the weight of these vehicles and all the materials I got to put into it. But anyway, they're saying that the release from the tires, the particulates and all that, and the brakes are going directly into the soil and water, while exhaust negatively affects the air quality. But the exhaust is being filtered through all these different filters that have been, you know, developed on gasoline and diesel vehicles, internal combustion engines, for many, many years. So the tire, and then also the tires that they're using on a lot of these light duty vehicles, they're not even just fully rubber, you know, just pure rubber tires. They're synthetic rubber, they're saying, and they use a lot of crude oil within the rubber as like additives, fillers, et cetera. And, that's wearing out a lot quicker, and the brakes and all that, because it's, there's just much, much heavy vehicle. So anyway, that's, there you go. I don't know. It sounds, everything has an impact. We in our modern society, you think you're doing something, and I would say we're environmentalists. I think a lot of us are environmentalists, although people on the right typically get pegged with, you know, we hate the environment and we want to burn it all down.
I mean,
right?
We do all live on this planet.
Yes. I mean, we want clean water. We want clean air. We want all that stuff. It's just total nonsense. But in the modern era that we live in, we have this great technology, but it all has an impact. And I've said this for years. If you're not willing to go in a cave and just, you know, just be quiet, you're coming to the podium. Yeah, you're coming to the podium reading about all the environmental impacts on your iPad or on your laptop, which is made from way overseas and, you know, transported thousands of miles with raw materials that are rare earth materials and hard to get and have to be mined.
Every part of our lives.
Every part of our lives. But anyway, there you go. Another a study that says these cars or these EVs are having a bigger impact on the environment, which we suspected, but now there's more studies coming out that show that. All right, speaking of vehicles. Way to save a little bit is for the environment is not to have your whole windshield have to get replaced, because again, it ain't just a piece of glass. There's all kinds of material in there so it doesn't shatter the plastics and stuff. There's cameras that they put in these things that, you know, they have to align with your windshields. There's a lot of technology in your windshields. There's a lot of raw materials. You get a rock chip in your windshield. Remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first and get that thing fixed before it spreads to the rest of your windshield, costing you a costly windshield replacement. If you need a new windshield, though, Diamond Auto Glass will take care of you. They have done a great job for my family for years. We still got to get the Mini over there. That thing is
it's spreading.
It is spreading, yeah. Call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. I did watch that movie with Owen this weekend, The Italian Job, where they, at the end they have the Minis that steal the gold.
Yeah, they drive and them all.
Mom's exact model is in that. Maybe it was that car. There was a little scratch on the side, you know, so maybe that's the actual car.
Yeah, maybe we should go check.
Yeah, maybe that's the actual car.
We might have a famous car.
Yeah, right. Okay, taxpayer funds to buy up medical debt is an Arizona one for you. Arizona is going to use $30 million. So the governor announced this, I believe, today. $30 million in, they're using the COVID relief money. So that money is still.
It just keeps coming back to haunt us.
It just keeps coming. So everybody thinks that inflation is going to go down, and it's still actually working its way through the system, because governments are still holding on to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions, billions and billions of dollars of COVID relief money that was conjured up from thin air that we are now paying interest on for the national debt. What was it, $9 trillion we figured? $9 trillion or so that was conjured up from nothing during the COVID hysterics and antics. Arizona's still got money. So the governor announced that she's going to use $30 million and then partner up with RIP medical debt. I guess that's rest in peace medical debt. RIP, RIP, rest in peace medical debt.
I don't know if I want medical care from them.
No, it's not medical care. What they do is a nonprofit. It's a charity that goes to the, let's say, medical organizations, hospitals, things like that. So let's say, Olivia, you go in and you have something done, surgery, whatever, something unexpected. A lot of people have medical debt. I get it. Medical expenses are insanely crazy as far as the cost, right? And then you can't pay. So you rack up $100,000, right? So they're handing you, they want their money.
Can't rest in peace.
You're not going to rest in peace until you pay this thing off, right? once it goes to collections, once anything goes to collections, especially from larger organizations, even smaller. I mean, we have collections in our business. You know, we're in the rental business. And it gets to a point where, not to get too into the weeds, but if we have to evict someone, and usually that entails a lawyer, our lawyer then has a collections agency or process, right? And we might get, maybe every once in a while on that debt, sometimes they'll settle, and we might get 10 cents on the dollar. I mean, just something, right? It's just like you forget about it, and all of a sudden somebody owes you $1,000 and you get a check for $100 and it's settled, and that's just what it is. It's a cost of doing business. Well, the medical industry, they have that. So this organization apparently goes to the hospital, for example, or the doctor, or the debt collectors that maybe even own it at that point. Because at that point, maybe the hospital sold it to another debt collector, and the debt collectors buy it for 30 cents on the dollar, whatever it may be, right? So they go, and the governor says they're teaming up with this organization with the $30 million in federal COVID relief funds, which, okay, how's that work, right? And they're going to team up with RIP medical debt, and then RIP medical debt goes to the hospitals or the debt collectors and says, hey, we'll give you 10 cents on the dollar. Olivia owes you 100 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you 10
no
grand.
No money.
$10,000. And her debt's settled. She's done. That's what they're planning on doing. So, and it's four people whose income is less than, this is what I don't get, because I get it. I get it when you get into medical debt, and that's a big cause of bankruptcy in America, right? People who are 400% of the federal poverty level, who have income for a family of four of $124,000 a year. Let's call it $125,000. If you have $125,000 in income, you can you may be able to qualify for this to go kill your medical debt and RIP it, right? Rest in peace. That's a good salary. That's some good income. $125,000 a year.
I'd recommend learning to save.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe things have changed over the time, but dang, that's, we're not even setting this. We're setting this bar pretty high here. So, yeah, there you go. So, but the thing is, here's what I want you to remember: it's $30 million of federal COVID money they're using to pay off other people's debts, which we're doing, and the politicians are doing more and more in this society. Whether you think, okay, medical debt's a problem, Jeff, yeah, but so is credit card debt. So is auto debt. So is household, homeowner, mortgage debt.
All the other debts.
Student loan debt. Here's the problem with the government doing this stuff is the line is always moving. They're always adding more. They're always buying more votes with, hey, we're going to help this group. Then we're going to help this group. Then we're going to help this group.
Because they're like, well, I didn't go to college and I don't need medical help, but I need help with this debt on my house or whatever.
Why shouldn't I have my house forgiven? You know, the mortgage on my house. If you're forgiving, Olivia pulled her headset out. Now she can't hear me. If you're forgiving medical debt, well, okay, maybe I don't have medical debt. You're forgiving college student loan debt. Well, I never had student loan debt. When does it get to the point where other people then say, hey, wait a second, you forgave for all these other people, I want this forgiven for me over here.
I owe this person $1,000. Can I have some help?
Yeah, never ends. So, and I think the mainstream is now taking note. I don't even call it the mainstream. I hate when I say that, and I say it all the time because it's pounded into me. The dying legacy corporate media is finally taking note of America's massive debt problem. I'm seeing signs that this is starting to go mainstream. So Olivia, you know, we started the show in January of 2017, right? It's about Trump's getting sworn in, right? And one of my big things was, hey, what are we doing with this debt? This is crazy. You know, it's like $17 trillion is what the debt was. Now it's, well, wow, it's 34. It's double. The debt is doubling. The great doubling. The debt is like doubled. Let me look that number up. I think it was $17 trillion. Maybe it was $20 trillion. But you know what I'm saying. We're adding a fortune to this thing. And I'm sitting here for 8 years and I'm like, the debt's a real problem. And these politicians promising everything. So it starts with the best of intentions, you know, back in, during the time of Roosevelt, it's like, we're going to do Social Security. Then we're going to add Medicare. Then we're going to add this.
You're forgiving everybody else's debts and without thinking about your own.
But you're also, we're paying for all these programs and then add another program. So now the mainstream media, I did it again. The dying corporate legacy media is saying, we got a debt problem. And the CNBC headline on Friday was that we have $1 trillion of debt being added to this nation. $1 trillion, which is a number that is unimaginable, right? Count to a trillion. I don't know how long it'd take.
I don't know. Count to a million.
Get a trillion, you know, of anything stacked up. I don't even know what that looks like, right? $1 trillion of debt is being added to the national debt every 100 days in this country. That's what I called just a few months ago. I said we are now in the debt spiral stage of this economy, of this system, shall we say, that's been slowly eroding away for many decades. Since June, this hedge fund guy went back and looked at this, I guess, in this report. Since June last year, the last two $1 trillion jumps occurred in about 100 days. So it looked back, it's 100 days. I posted a report, I think it was the second week of January, up at talkwithjeff.com, that we had just broached the $34 trillion mark, right? So that was second week of January. So Not even two months? Since January?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to rely on you for these basic things a little bit. Anyway, so we're not even 2 months from January, right? Where it's March 4th right now. And we are close to $34.5 billion. So we've added nearly, I think it was like $460 billion. We have now added nearly $500 billion since early January. And here we are in early March. And so this looks about right. Guys saying 100 days, we're going to be broaching 3 months, 3.5 months, and we're going to add another $1 trillion. We're about $35 trillion by time. Let's predict this right now. April-ish, middle of April, end of April, we'll be at $35 trillion. We'll have broached another $1 trillion mark. So it's about 100 days.
Is it going to increase more so that it's
will.
Like
it will
every 100 days? It's $2 trillion up or whatever.
No, it may very well do that because I think we're in some kind of inflationary melt up that's happening right now, and you can see it in a lot of the asset prices and things like that. Now here's another headline. I got to take a break, actually. I'll get to another headline when we come back because there's a hot shot Wharton professor, which is a, you know, who's saying that he's seeing a meltdown and he's seeing a serious problem with this debt, with these debt levels. So it's also going to the, let's call them traditional legacy universities, the professors, the economists and what have you, are now saying, hey, there's a problem. So it's not just me in the periphery with a couple other people, you know, the crazies for 8 years that have been saying, hey, we better watch this debt. It's now going more mainstream, we'll call it. The main percentage of the population and pundits are now saying, hey, we might have a problem, which to me indicates, hey, we might have a problem that it's way too late if these guys are finally recognizing this. All right. Since we're having a little bit of problem and pricing has been going up and food's costing a fortune, it costs a bunch to go out to eat as well. Why don't you head on over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, right? Sportsman's Bar and Grill has great specials.
They have their specials. They have their, what is it, their $3 menu?
$4 menu.
$4 menu. I was close.
Sorry, that's
millions, billions, whatever, all these numbers, 34.
It used to be $3, I think. But, I mean, keep up with inflation. They now have the $4.
Every which 100 is, who days, has it's four, going up by a trillion.
Who has $4 menu with great stuff on there? I mean, nobody can do that anymore. They also have the hot links going on. They also have Taco Tuesday tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Taco Tuesday starts at lunch, so take advantage of that. Get great tacos, and then Wing Wednesday, half-price wings every Wednesday at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. Catch all the games up there. Get a great drink specials as well. Sportsman's Bar and Grill just north of downtown, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
Now, Olivia, another way to save money is to go to my good friends at the Blind Brothers, Great Northern Arizona company servicing anywhere in central northern Arizona, new blinds, shutters, or shades. It's kind of cool up here in Flagstaff today, but I noticed it's starting to get very warm in Verde Valley. Get a better set of blinds.
In fact, to help with your energy costs. Camp Verde, can we please get Blind Brothers blinds downstairs?
I got to call them. Yeah,
the sun goes directly into my eyeballs.
They did all new blinds in Flagstaff. I got to get them to do. We have a lot of windows down there because we're looking out at a beautiful forest. It's awesome, and I want to be able to open those easily. But when that sun's ripping and it's 103, you can save a lot of energy with getting a great set of blinds, shutters, or shades from the Blind Brothers. Do your neighbors a favor. Call them right now and do yourself a favor too. 928-634-2423. The Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423 or go to theblindbrothers.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Zero Res. Get more information. Get your carpets cleaned, your tiles cleaned as well at zeroresnorthernarizona.com. Because I don't want to help people with taxpayer funds that are in bad situations. I have compassion for people. I feel bad when people get in these situations. I mean, I've been in situations like that. I think we're at the point in our nation where we just can't use taxpayer funds to help just about anybody because it's always another step. There's more. And you just got to say, hey, it's like back in the 1800s. I can't remember the congressman who said it. Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone. It's something like that. Don't quote me. You don't need to send me an email on that one. But anyway, it's like, hey, it ain't your money to spend. I don't know if they worded it that way, but it's just not your money to spend. It's not yours to spend.
That $34 trillion, we owe it.
Yeah.
We owe it.
That didn't happen overnight. That was politicians and us as the general public continually saying, okay, it's okay. Okay, yeah, help that person.
Just a little more.
Help that person. Yeah. Just Ukraine. Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll send another 100. You send 100 million here, 100 million there, billion there. Next thing you know, it's real money. And then you're close to 35 trillion and you're wondering, huh, what happened to my country? And, you know, everybody come on in. We'll give you free money too. Want to have a baby over here? They become a citizen and we'll pay for them. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. That Angela and I were talking about that last hour. The anchor baby thing. You just come on over. Pfft. Why wouldn't you come over? Why wouldn't you flood it? Let's do some comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
This one's from Sue. Hi, Jeff. Just picked up my mail. This Republican sample ballot lists the Democratic Party candidates, not Republican. Have to admit, I just had to shake my head when I received it.
Wait. I'm shaking my head.
So the Republican sample ballot lists the Democratic Party candidates, not the Republican candidates.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Did she say where she is? She must be Coconino County. Maybe they got help from the Alliance because the Alliance was helping Coconino County craft the material. So we hear. And we're paying into that.
They're like, we have a great idea.
We have a great idea. Just everybody gets
to. And then they'll just assume they'll see it on the real ballot. And they'll be like, oh, that was on my sample ballot. Must be Republicans. That's who I should vote for. Familiarity with the name.
Nice. Hey, I don't know what to say. I mean, I last election, I didn't get the. I'm not voting in the presidential preference thing coming up March 19th because I'm now an independent. And it's a closed primary for that. Although in Arizona, it is open for the general primary in late July, August, whenever they move that to. As an independent, you can pick the Republican ballot or an independent, you can pick the Democrat ballot or whatever. But the last election, when I did get the ballot, I got two from Coconino County Elections Office. Remember that? I had two ballots for the same election. One was to Jeff Orvitz, one was like to Jeffrey Orvitz or something. I was like, okay.
Yeah, those sound like two different people to me.
Yeah, right? At the same address.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the same. Yeah, that was. So they told me that was just kind of a fluke. So I guess your thing is just a fluke, Sue. So
Yeah, all kinds of flukes, left and right, just little problems.
On Friday, I did report on this. I know some of you don't listen to the Friday show, but a federal judge said that the election law in Arizona that was passed here a year or two ago will hold at least part of it. And the big part of it was that you have to show ID to vote, you know? You have to actually, like, not just show your decoder ring that you got from the Cracker Jack Democrat box. You actually have to, like, ID. It's, like, legal to show it. I'm like, well, really? Okay, get it?
Yeah, I would hope.
You got to show that to get on a plane or smoke a cigarette or drink a beer, right?
But
or
buy a lottery ticket. Voting for who runs our country?
Yeah, no.
Just, anyone can do that. Why don't we do a worldwide poll?
Everybody in foreign countries should get the vote.
Everyone gets to say.
You know what? Okay, so next week we go to Europe, right? And we've gone to visit Isabel, who's an exchange student over in Athens. Really looking forward to this trip. And looking forward to sharing a couple days a week of the trip with you. And I will let you know how it goes, because I think they have elections going on soon, too. Most of the world has elections going on. So I'm going to land in Athens.
Maybe they'll let us vote.
I'm going to immediately go to the elections office and say, I'm here. I want to vote, and I want a free cell phone. And I don't want to show you ID coming into the country.
Just trust me on my word that I am a citizen.
And oh, by the way, Angela's pregnant. If we have a baby here, it's going to be Greek. How do you think that's going to go? No bueno. However you say it.
Wild guess, you're going to be thrown back. They'll be like, no, thank you.
Well, Isabel, to go over there for the exchange program, had to have a return ticket. And promise not to work while she's there. It's just like, you're just visiting here. You're not going to become a citizen. You're never going to become a citizen. We don't want you to stay. We want you to come spend your money, and then please go away. Thank you very much. Now, California has a new bill that would make illegal immigrants eligible for first-time homebuyer loans. So back to what Angela and I were talking about last hour, which is there's nothing but incentive to come to this country illegally.
You're not a citizen, but you get the full perks and more.
And you don't have to pay anything into it. Yeah. It's
no taxes, no this, no
that. Wasn't there a company that their slogan was something like membership has its privileges? It's like, no, it doesn't. Not anymore. We have no, we get less than people who come over illegally. Anyway, so where'd this article come from? I lost it, but it's a California bill, 1840, which is an alternative way for illegal immigrants to achieve home ownership. Democrat Assemblyman's new bill states that an individual's immigration status can't disqualify an applicant from the program. It was Fox News. The bill is set to expand eligibility criteria for a state loan program to expand these loans to include undocumented migrants that are first-time buyers.
This is really bad.
The bill states, this is like, what world are we living in? The bill states that, quote, an applicant under the program shall not be disqualified solely based on the applicant's immigration status.
Solely based on the fact that they illegally came here?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So California is facing tens of billions of dollars of budget deficit, like shortfall, right? And it's like, why? So let's have more people. Let's have another incentive for people to come to the country illegally, in California specifically.
Oh, yeah, there's more.
And you get...
We should be giving them, like, welcome baskets at the border with, like, expensive chocolate. And
Would you be requiring the pillow turndown service at 9 p.m. and the chocolate on the pillow?
Just call for room service.
Just call for room service. Well,
oh, here's your cell phone.
They're literally doing that. There's, like, no hotel rooms in New York City. I talked about this on Friday. It's costing, I think, $140,000 or $150,000 a year per illegal to house them in New York because they're filling them in hotel rooms. $150,000 a year. You might as well move them to Kansas and buy a house for $75,000. It'll be cheaper.
I know.
That's unbelievable. I mean, we want to go to New York. You know, how much? We've gotten there. We're good. $500 a night? So these hotels are filling up with illegals. It's like staying at the Ritz-Carlton right there at Central Park. You know, which we did once. I won it in a poker game. Long story. Anyway, another comment. Actually, let me get to one of my great sponsors here before I am absolutely run out of time. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We'll get back to those comments. Desert Gold Exchange. I was actually talking to Justin by text this morning because I have an uneasy feeling about the point in history we're at, and $1 trillion every 100 days or perhaps less, and a crazy election coming up. And if Trump wins, which I hope he does, and I hope he goes and makes massive changes, but I don't know. I remember 2020, and the city's burning and people looting and just general craziness.
Didn't see a lot of changes then.
I want an insurance policy, and I look at gold and silver as that insurance policy. And I deal with Justin and his great family-run company right here in Arizona, Arizona-based company that gets gold and silver, physical gold and silver delivered directly to you. And they have the lowest prices as far as the fees and commissions out there. They guarantee that. Call them up. Put Desert Gold Exchange to the test right now, 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. Get the maximum physical gold and silver for your investment at 888-852-4343 or go to desertgoldexchange.com. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Another comment here from Olivia.
Goats are too smart. They can open most doorknobs. I raise them hard on neighbors when they get loose. That's from Newt. And that's me and Mom were talking about goats because I love goats. I think they're adorable.
You guys got a goat obsession. You know, but
they're really, really cute. Well, especially with their little horns.
I'm leaning more towards the sheep. And you get some really nice, because then you can shear them and there's a practical commercial use for their material. Okay, goats
have a practical commercial use. Well,
what is it? What is
use?
It? If you milk them, yeah.
I
ain't milking
them. We can sell happiness. We can bottle it.
Well, I guess you could eat them if you want.
No, that's the problem. They can eat your weeds, though. They can eat your garbage.
I bought multiple mowers, weed whackers, tractors with mowers.
They break all the time.
And now I got to have a goat.
The goats are reliable.
Yeah, and then they're going to get loose and go wild. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I definitely would like some more farm animals for the uncertainty that's been going on and that's out there.
Great, let's start with goats.
Olivia and Angela did the last segment of Friday's show on their own and did a wonderful job. Olivia, I didn't know you actually ran the board, so that's good.
Apparently I messed some things up, but I don't think I did. I didn't
catch it. You guys did great.
Oh, no, on your board.
Oh, yeah, of course you did. All right, I want to tell you about potential water rate increases. Where we got something on helium?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Hit that real quick. Can you just sum it up real quick? Because apparently this is a rare, very rare thing, non-renewable, and there's, like, helium's been depleting for a long time, but there's been a big strike, I guess, or find.
Well, yeah, they discovered in Minnesota a large supply, and the U.S. supplies are dwindling, and it was saying that, where did it go?
I don't know.
Oh, that to consider the concentration economically viable, it's 0.3%.
As far as the content, the concentration, okay.
And the one that they found is 12.4%.
So they hit a gusher. In oil terms, they hit a helium gusher. Then they knew it because their voices were getting so squeaky. It was like, right? So that's what happened. And they hit the helium. What? So we get like balloons? I mean, what's this? It's medical stuff, huh? They use a bunch of medical and stuff.
I just thought it was used as a coolant too.
Oh, okay. So
where did that go?
So this is another example of how many resources we actually have in this country that are untapped, that are weren't even knowable until recently for this Minnesota strike. So that's good news.
Yeah,
we'll take
that is.
Yeah, as we try to dig out of this financial quagmire of $1 trillion every 100 days that the politicians got us into and the general public that allowed these politicians to get us into this, at least we know eventually we can tap into the U.S.'s vast resources. And hopefully it's not another country. Hopefully it's not like what we did around the world for a long time is we'd go and, we'll build you bridges and stuff. And then if you can't pay, we'll have maybe we can utilize some of your resources. China does that now. So hopefully it's not China owns everything, and says, America, you can't pay your treasury bills.
Well, we'll take some helium.
We'll just get some helium.
And some balloons, please.
Then we really won't know what they're saying. All right. Hang tight. More to come. Back in a minute. Hey, you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
I'm sure they're doing this everywhere, local governments. I just know Flagstaff because that's where I get my notices and bills and stuff, right? I guess they're meeting to talk about water rate increases coming up March 4th at 3 p.m. Well, that's today. We missed that one. Another one March 25th at 3 p.m. at Flagstaff City Hall. Anyway, just be aware they're talking about raising your water rates. And I'm like, everything's going up. I get it. But maybe just shift like some of the $10 million from the sustainability department for the people thinking up stupid stuff all day long. Just, and I know, oh, Jeff, we can't. That's a different slice of money. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. Just make it work. Anyway, just instead of jacking people on water rates, just like, just get rid of that department and just move their $10 million to the water, to the utility, to like water and sewer.
Wow. That sounds like a solution to me.
$10 million a year. And then, hey, we don't have to do water rate increases this year because remember that sustainability department that, you know, did nothing?
There was no one to think up this idea. Up
stuff. Yeah. Now we've got $10 million and all those people that working in the sustainability department, we got them filling potholes. That's their new job, filling potholes.
Something, right? That's actually sustaining something and
sustaining, you know, my tires.
Being useful.
Because apparently, according to that study, the tires are causing a lot of pollution, right? All right. It's been fun. We'll get Representative Chaplick rescheduled. We've got a lot coming up this week still, so I hope you join us every day. And I hope you subscribe to the podcast. Appreciate everyone who's done that.
And then email us, talkwithjeff@icloud.com.
Put Olivia to work. And these kids nowadays. Actually, good job on the thank you to everyone for the Navajo tacos.
Oh, yes. Thank you, everybody who came. We really appreciate it.
That was very successful. Thank you for that. See you tomorrow. Have a great night. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.